Okay, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the last session of Ignite that talks about building and distributing enterprise apps with Windows Store for Business. I am here today with Kyle, who's...
So yeah, I'm Kyle. I'm on the developer platform team in Windows, and I look after apps in the enterprise. And I admire all of your stamina to come to the very last session on the last day, so congratulations.
And my name is Jan Kallis. I'm the Product and Marketing Manager for Windows Store for Business. So what we are going to talk about today is that we want to walk you through a storyline because we want to convey a set of messages, and we thought about how we can convey them so that they are easy to grasp and make sense. So we actually decided to walk you through a journey of different ways to deploy modern or UWP apps based on the level of IT governance that you need within the organization. Now, this session is, yes, is targeted to developers, though if there are IT professionals in the audience, don't leave because there is a lot of content that is relevant to you as well.
So looking at the various options, especially when you look at the Windows Store for Business, this is all about deploying universal Windows platform apps, right? So apps that are using the UWP WinRT native runtime, or now that the anniversary update is available, also apps that might be using our Desktop Bridge, also known previously known as Project Centennial, so that you can take a Win32 app and use the same kind of modern distribution techniques that we have available in our UWP platform for those kinds of apps as well. So these are the kinds of apps or the kind of distribution that we're talking about. And the first step here is in terms of the amount of governance, and certainly something that works really well for smaller organizations, is to simply take advantage of the enormous infrastructure that we've built as part of the Windows Store. So we built this infrastructure so that we can serve a lot of apps to hundreds of millions of devices, that is the Windows Store. And we are making part of that available, or that infrastructure available to you as IT professionals or as enterprises as part of your Windows product. So you can go ahead and say, well, I'm going to take these applications, and you have a couple of options that Jan will talk about where you get them. But you simply use an app store model for your users, which means you're going to go ahead and tell them which apps should be available for them, make sure that it's easy for them to discover the apps, maybe add your own apps to that process, and easily make a self-serve, if you will, ability for them to pick apps. And given that these are universal platform apps, they are very safe. They run in what we call the App Container Sandbox. So you can be assured that when you put a universal platform app on your system, it's not messing up with any other app. It's not going to break another app. It's not going to adjust the system settings. It's not going to decide that, hey, you know, a good place to write this data would be where you're storing your incredibly important corporate information. It's not going to make any of those kinds of decisions. So the app is a very safe kind of app to distribute, so you can make those kinds of choices available to your users through the Windows Store for Business. Of course, we also understand that there's a need for you to have additional governance. So that's where we start integrating these kinds of apps with management tools so that you can do different kinds of operations, not just a self-service operation, but you need to push applications down. You need to decide and make choices for the user instead of just making it easy for them to make a choice on their own. Again, these are using the Windows Store for Business. These kinds of apps still meet that same safety bar. But it also allows you to start bringing in other kinds of applications, ones that don't necessarily follow all of the rules of the Windows Store for Business. And then finally, we're going to talk about the idea of sideloading apps. These are apps that are not sourced from the Windows Store for Business, but are sourced either internally or maybe from trusted partners. And there are different kinds of capabilities. These apps can do different kinds of things because there's no... You, as an enterprise, are completely responsible for the vetting of the application and of the developer and deciding, what this application should be allowed to do and not. But given that that choice, you then have a choice of sideloading those applications onto your devices and then letting that full power roll. So that's kind of the story we're going to walk through today.
Now, from the agenda, it obviously is building along this story. So first, as we embark on the journey of this agenda, we'll start with introducing Windows Store for Business. And we'll do it very quickly because we had a dedicated session on Store for Business yesterday. So we'll just give you a very high-level fly-through, but point to some relevant sources there. Where we want to focus in Windows Store for Business is specifically the line of business app functionality that allows you to manage your internal apps with Store for Business. Now, as we will be growing more in the need for IT governance, we'll start using management tools to distribute those apps, and then we'll wrap with app sideloading. We have allotted time at the end for questions, so we would appreciate if you hold them till the end. Now, let's start embarking on our journey, and let's talk about the Windows Store for Business. So this is an IT pro slide. There is another slide that Kyle will cover in a minute that talks specifically to developers and to business developers, line of business developers, B2B developers. So we've heard from many IT professionals like you, some of you might be here in the room as well, that they need a means to manage modern apps in volume for their organization, manage them in one single place, distribute them, and control the ownership of or assignment of those applications to people in the organization. And then, so that's why we built the Windows Store for Business as one place to pretty much do four things: to find, acquire, manage, and distribute apps to Windows 10 devices. So it was built for organizations. We feature business and education applications. What is very important is that as soon as any acquisition is done by the organizational purchaser, all those entitlements are owned by the organization. So the organization can reassign licenses as needed. As mentioned, we'll be focusing on line of business app functionality. So there are two types of apps that you can find in the store today, in the store for business today, that are the public Windows Store apps. But also, you can use the same management portal as we will be showing shortly to manage your internal apps. And then there's a number of deployment options for deploying these apps to Windows 10, and we'll be showing that in a minute as well. Now, of course, it has to be simple and easy for end users, and you also should have some options for easy controlling updates for those apps. So there are some default options, which means always on, so the apps will be kept up to date, including internal line of business apps, or you can really control those updates as you then go on the journey in needing more IT governance. Now, if you want to learn way more about Store for Business, we had a session yesterday that, of course, is recorded that was called Dive Deeper into Windows Store for Business. So please review it after if you are interested.
So for the developer point of view, looking at the Windows Store and the Windows Store for Business, I kind of look at three different things. First off, it does, of course, make it very easy to reach users. I can simply, if I'm either a line of business developer or possibly I'm a commercial developer, meaning I'm selling applications that are targeted specifically to business and really have no point being in the regular consumer store. So, for example, if I had an application that was tailor-made for people to do estimates for insurance on automobiles, that's probably not going to be a terribly popular consumer app. But it would make sense that what I'm going to do is I'm going to submit that app through the Windows Store, put it in the Windows Store for Business, and be able directly to put that directly to my customers. Or if I'm a line of business developer, I have one place, I go ahead and put the app through the Windows Store for Business. And then I pretty much have a direct connection to my users by being able to simply do an update, and that update is going to flow very quickly across our infrastructure to be put on the end user devices without a lot of steps in between, because again, these apps are, given that they're Universal Windows Platform apps, they're safe to deploy, safe to update, and we're going to make sure that these updates happen quickly all the time. We actually have some very interesting tooling to go along with that. Our first new interesting tool that came out with the anniversary update again is the Desktop Bridge. If you have an app that you're currently developing, that you have the source code to, that you're able to make changes if they're necessary, you can take that 32-bit application and package it into the Universal Platform format, and then all of the same Windows Store for Business and Windows Store and distribution and management techniques all happen. It's nicer than simply just saying, hey, I'm just taking an, it's not I'm taking an old MSI and putting it through this scheme, because with the Desktop Bridge, we have, again, safeguards in place. These applications are not messing up with your local global registry entries. They're not writing to places on the disk that they really shouldn't. So there is an amount of safety and security that gets put in place around that process. It's also nice if I go ahead and submit an app to the Windows Store or Windows Store for Business that I don't have to worry about signing an application, because all of that's going to happen automatically. As I'll mention later, we only allow signed applications to be installed on a Windows device. So if you don't have this, then you have to worry about how am I signing it, where am I getting my certificate authority from, and so on. If I go ahead and use the Windows Store, the Windows Store for Business, that's all taken care of. I don't have to worry about that at all. Finally, there's a huge amount of cost efficiency that comes across the board here. Again, we built a very large infrastructure to handle handling hundreds of millions of Windows devices. I think we announced 400 million active monthly devices earlier this month, or earlier this here at Ignite. That's a lot of devices. That's delivering a tremendous amount of applications, you know, every day and every moment to lots and lots of devices. So we, of course, built a very efficient system for doing that. So if you go ahead and use this infrastructure to reach your users, you don't have to worry about where you're hosting the content. You don't have to set up servers or infrastructure to handle that, because that's all handled by the Windows Store for Business. We're also going to make sure that only the bare minimum amount of traffic happens between that infrastructure and your endpoint, your desktop endpoints. So if you have a 1 gig application and you make a 10K change to it, what the users are going to get transmitted, what the traffic across your network is going to be 10K. Sure, the first time it hit, it was a gig, but if that update's 10K, that's what you're going to do. And the developer didn't have to do any work to make that happen. All he did was use our APEX packaging, use the Universal Windows platform to do it, and then we look after making sure that when we do the transfer of the updated bits, that it's absolute minimum. We also make sure that we use the absolute minimum disk space as well. If you've got 18 different apps or 1,000 different apps, given the population some of you deal with, and they all use this same internal component or a component that's the same, you know, today, if you wanted to make sure that every app was isolated and kept its own copy of everything so it's safe and it didn't interfere with another app when an update happened, et cetera, you'd have 1,000 copies of that component. You can see it would appear to have 1,000 copies of that component today in the Windows Universal Platform, but in actual fact, there'd only be the one, because we're going to make sure that we only keep one copy of a file if everybody's using the same one. Then some app makes a change. You know, the thing that concerns IT is, hey, this one app's going to make a change, and it's going to update this shared component, and then those other 999 apps are all going to break because that wasn't the right change or that component wasn't ready. That's not going to happen, because these apps keep their own isolated copy, and that one app that got updated and has that one different version, he's the only one with it. I still have 999 sharing one copy, but one app has got that different one, and they're not going to break each other. So it's a very interesting place for a developer to be able to make these kinds of updates and change with a very efficient way of doing things.
And by the way, if you are a commercial developer and already have apps in Windows Store, then, of course, the Windows Store for Business is great for you to extend the reach to organizations that they can acquire your apps in volume. So, yes, Windows Store for Business has also a story for commercial developers who are selling apps through the Windows Store, but we are not focusing on this aspect of the Store for Business in this session. So I think it is a great place to jump into very first demo, where we just a very quick demo of Store for Business, where we would show you the portal for purchasers, where purchasers and administrators can come in, acquire apps, manage the inventory, and then we'll roll over to the next demo where we will show how to distribute those apps. So I'm here on my Windows 10 machine, and I launch Edge and go to microsoft.com/business-store, which is the main sign-in and sign-up page for Store for Business. Matt Kotler yesterday showed if you don't have Azure AD or Office 365 or work or school ID and you need to get one, then we help you sign up. It's a very simple process. But if in your organization you already use Azure AD, you have your work or school account, you can just simply sign in. And in this case, I will sign in as Jerry Fryer. He is the company IT professional administrator of the Store for Business, but also he's the purchaser. The administrators can delegate access to this site to other departmental admins or departmental purchases, typically to the Windows Store for Business portal only. Those who make purchases on behalf of the organization are coming today. So what you can see here is we have a spotlight that showcases business applications. We have number of collections where we highlighted the top apps that are aligned with business needs. If you sign in with your school ID, you would obviously see a little different page here. You can, for example, search for apps that you would need, and then you can acquire even paid apps today, where the purchaser needs to pay the number of licenses that the organization needs at that point up front. And then, of course, you can, down the road, you can reclaim licenses, or you can even buy more as needed. We have one inventory.
And these licenses, who do they belong to once they're purchased?
So these licenses belong to the organization. So I purchase these licenses as Jerry, as the organizational purchaser, but they are not assigned to anybody yet, because either, and we'll show those assignments in the next demo, but at this point, organization bought a pool of licenses, and it's ready to be used in the organization. Now, so this is the Windows Store apps. Of course, we also have free apps available in the store that you can acquire as well. But we also allow you to manage line of business apps. And I'll go into this a little deeper in one of the following demos. But the point that I want to make is that there is one inventory where the organization can manage all their universal Windows apps that come either from Windows Store or that come either from your in-house developer or were built for your organization by a third-party developer. Now, this list, for example, here has the desktop app converter or Arduino IDE. If you're following the recent announcements, you have seen announcements that the applications, the Win32 applications that were converted to APEX packages using the Windows Desktop Converter are already available in the store. And that's these are the two examples that we pulled into store to demonstrate this capability of the store as well. Now, the last thing in this demo I'd like to show you is that, for example, if I view license details on this camera app, well, this camera app is a free app, but still, I'm able to see who claimed the entitlements or who this app was assigned to. And what I can do as an administrator or potentially somebody who can manage licenses within the company, I can select the people who no longer need those licenses, and I can click the button here to reclaim those licenses. So now I'm back to the original pool of acquired licenses, and I can start assigning this app to others. So that was just a very quick demo where we showed what type of content you find in Store for Business. So there are universal Windows apps that are either free or paid. We showed those the public apps, but as well as the internal line of business apps where we have a specific demo. We talked about purchase and also the benefits of one single inventory for all of your apps. So let me go into the second demo where I'd like to show you the store methods on how we can distribute those apps to users. So now we are still in that very beginning of our journey on the first pillar as we will be growing with the IT governance need little later. So I'll switch to my demo machine here, and this is where I left off. And right here on this page, you can see both store methods that allow you to distribute the app within the organization. The first method is so-called private store. So if I'll click this button here, it will take some time for the app to show actually in the private store. But I have already added other apps to the private store. So I'll show you how the private store looks like. Well, the private store is pretty much a section in the Windows Store application. So as you install Windows 10, you'll get the Windows Store. Now, this is exactly it. But since I am running the Windows 10 Enterprise, I have the ability to suppress certain tabs from the Windows Store. And because this organization said, well, we only want to allow certain applications for users to get from the store, and which applications? Only those that we as IT approve or purchase, then what I've set using a group policy or management policy is to suppress the home, apps, games, movies, and TV tabs, pretty much the public store. So employees won't be able to shop on their own for other apps, but they can get the apps from the private store. So let's focus in on the private store. So the private store has all the apps that I, as a purchaser in this organization, published into the private store, and users in that organization can come into the private store and self-discover apps that they need and install them. And those apps behave the same way as they would be from the public store. The one big difference is that if I get the app from the private store, I am claiming the license from the pool of all the licenses that Contoso, in this example, owns for that license. So what may happen if I don't have enough licenses? The IT pro needs to buy more. Now, one more thing that I'd like to show here is that you are noticing those two, Contoso Health app and Contoso PayStub app. This is the line of business app that was submitted only for this organization. And I'll walk you through in one of my next demos on how to do it end to end. It's very easy. So now we've talked about the first distribution method through so-called private store. There is a second distribution method that you can use to distribute apps to people, which is so-called assign to people. Now, this is another pull mechanism, meaning that once you assign this app to certain people, like for example, I'll assign it to Alice, and you see that we are querying the Active Directory at the same time, so you can assign the app, then we'll generate an email that we send to the user. And also, the user would see the app in my library. So in my library, under Contoso, I now can see the camera app. If I would decide to obviously reclaim those licenses, And if I go back into my library, the camera app disappears. So those are two default methods for distributing apps to users from Windows Store for Business. There's a third method that allows you gain more control, and because we integrate seamlessly with management tools, but it is a separate demo that actually follows a little later throughout today.
Yeah, so what you saw there is the various ways that the Windows Store for Business has to distribute to app to your end users. Obviously, a lot of it comes down to the pull model. Users will take an action, but you can either assign a license specific to the people. You can have a pool of licenses that anyone will get once they go to the store, the store application. You're able to, all of these licenses belong to the enterprise. They don't belong to the user. That makes your paying process easier because you don't have to pay, 1,400 different users individual charges. You buy 1,400 as a block. And you can manage if a user leaves the enterprise, if they switch roles, you can get those licenses back and reassign them as you expect. So it gives you lots of flexibility in how you manage those effectively new corporate assets, which are the licenses or the rights to run those applications. Additionally, there is some policy integration there as well with respect to being able to at least see which applications the user has assigned in their libraries.
Exactly, thank you. There is one more topic that might be interesting for IT professionals, especially for distribution, that we can't go deep today, but we covered it yesterday in the dedicated talk, which is the store-managed online licensing and organization-managed offline licensing. So just a few words on the organization-managed offline licensing. That's a new licensing model that was introduced with Windows Store for Business and allows you as organizations to download the binary of the app with the entitlement and distribute it through either management tools or tools like DISM to inject that up into your corporate images. Or if you have air-gap networks, then you can port it to that internal network and install it to that internal network. So the offline licensing opens some capabilities that were not available before. One more point. Kyle also mentioned those enterprise policies. You've seen some of the policies that I've already applied to my store where I suppress the public store. There's way more granularity. You can use AppLocker, DeviceGuard, and many other policies that you can control what exactly what apps are allowed. You can whitelist apps, you can blacklist apps, etc. So there is a ton of flexibility that you as an organization have.
So yeah, and again, what's really interesting for enterprises is when can you start taking advantage of this infrastructure for your own use, right? So again, we see kind of two top tiers of applications that make that are possible here. The first one is, of course, anything that you're writing for yourself that's going to be consumed by your own users, a line of business app, if you will, that's a great opportunity to use this distribution method so that you can make these applications available to your user and that they'll automatically update whenever an update needs to get pushed from the developer. Right. So that's, the interesting part here, though, is that all of these applications, again, since they're UWP-based applications, they're not interfering with the system, they're not interfering with each other, right? It's a very key aspect, especially if you think about it in the consumer space. You know, users want to be able to take an app, try it out, decide if they like it or not, then delete it and have nothing have been different. No evidence of that app will remain once that app has been deleted. That's exactly the model that we've built. These applications simply, once the user says, I don't want it, or you remove the app from the system, there is no legacy left over. They can't leave things in bad places. They're not, using up your memory. They're not slowing down your boot speed. They're not doing any of those kinds of things because they're built on the Universal Windows platform. And again, we also see a great opportunity here for business-to-business kinds of applications Again, it's an easy way for those developers to both make the application available to you as your enterprise at the enterprises. You got, especially on the first release, you get to take a look at the app. You can decide whether or not you actually want to allow it into your Windows Store for Business. Once it's in the Windows Store for Business, it's an app like any other app. So you can decide to direct assign it. You can put it in your private store. You can run it through any of the other tools and management techniques. All of these apps, once they're in the Store for Business, effectively have all of the same capabilities. But it does allow developers in a very easy way to reach an audience that was somewhat more difficult to reach today. So the idea here is that you can go ahead and use the Windows Store for Business as an infrastructure part to extend the infrastructure that you have to simply say, hey, you know what, I'm going to put these line of business apps. Let's take another interesting case here. Supposing, you know, you get sometimes these departments want applications, right? And they hire some contractor you've never heard of who wants to write an app, and you're told, hey, you need to deploy this to this business unit. Or maybe the manager of the business unit wrote it himself because he's taking a programming course at the community college and decided this is what his group needs, and you have to deploy that. Today, you have to take a really serious look at these applications because you're concerned, hey, what are they going to do to mess up my device? Because the Win32 application, you never know exactly what it might do, how it might impact the system completely. So an easy thing to do to say, look, if you want to go ahead and hire that contractor, or you want to buy this software from this company we've never heard of, it needs to be a universal Windows platform app. Because if you acquire that or require that of your contractors, that you have to be a Windows Store for Business, a universal Windows platform app that I can distribute to the Windows Store for Business, you know that two things have happened. A, the developer has met all the requirements in terms of using the platform, or using the platform correctly. They're not doing things like deciding to scan the hard drive or storing files where they shouldn't or reading from files from places they shouldn't. None of that's happening. And in addition to just following that, they're also getting a look over as part of the Windows Store for Business. We can certify them and so on. And then should you decide that, hey, this is bad, as you saw just a moment ago, Jan pulled an app from the user because he pulled its assignment. So should that app prove to be problematic, you can simply say, it's off, all of those licenses are gone, and then nobody gets to run that app anymore. All of that happens because you can use the Windows Store for Business infrastructure. So let's take a look at putting on a line of business app.
Yes, before we take a look at that, I would like to add on one more scenario that we heard from one of your colleagues from a construction company. They actually built windows and doors. And they have a third-party developer who built for them an UpX that is actually a catalog of their products. And they need to install the app inside of the organization, but also they make it available to the retailers that they sell their windows and doors through. And so the solution here would be that all the retailers and the manufacturer would use Windows Store for Business, and the developer would push using DevCenter, what I would be showing you in a minute, would actually publish the app to all those organizations at once. So if there's an update, I publish the update, it goes at once to everybody. So that's a really scalable method. When I asked them how they do it today, well, they said, well, they actually email us the package. So you can see that this is a great way to go through Store for Business. So as Kyle mentioned, let's take a look at the actual demo of how you can manage internal line of business apps with Store for Business. So the first part of the workflow actually starts in the organization level, because the IT professional needs to approve and invite a specific developer or development company to publish to their inventory. So it all starts again in Windows Store for Business, as you've seen before. And here in the settings, you can go into LOB publishers, and you actually need to invite specific developers who would be able to publish an app to your behalf. So that's the very first step. Now I'll be continuing as this Contoso development. So This is actually here my Dev Center account. And if I launch the Dev Center, I see all the organizations that invited me to publish to them. These are internal demo instances at Microsoft, because our sales field wanted to demo line of business functionality. So I offered them that they can invite me, and I'll publish the package to them. And right here, you would accept the invitation. And once you do it, then you can start submitting your app. Now, how many of you are familiar with Windows Dev Center? Just if I can see, raise of hands. Just a few of you, okay? So I would say 5%, 5, 10% of people. So what I'll do, I'll just quickly walk you through the end-to-end process of how to submit an app through Windows Dev Center so that it shows in the Windows Store for Business. The first thing is that you need to, all these apps, these are all apps that I've submitted from my developer account. These are all internal apps. So if you are selling apps, you would see some much higher numbers here, and I'm sure about that. Now, the first thing is that I need to register the app name. So we just click create the app, and you reserve the name. It has to be unique in the entire store, but I have already done it. So the next step for me would be to start the submission. So in order to start the submission, there is a very simple process. I'll just follow a pretty much wizard and simple set of steps. In the first part of the submission, I need to define the pricing and availability. Today, we support only free line of business apps. We also believe that if you have a third-party developer who's building apps for your company, then the level of agreements and the SLA and the complexity, it goes beyond what the application developer agreement, all the terms of use in Windows Store for Business offers today. So it might be, anyway, a need for you to sign a special agreement with that developer. So I'll say free at this point. And the next section that is important is the section that is called distribution and visibility. Normally, if you would be submitting up into Windows Store, you would keep the default option. But because I'm submitting a LOB app to only specific organizations, I choose the LOB distribution. And as soon as I do it, you see that all the organizations that invited me to publish to them, I can select here. So I can publish this package to only one, all, or just selected number of organizations. Now, the next step is not mandatory, but this next step in organization licensing allows me to turn on or enable or opt in for so-called offline licensing, organization-managed offline licensing. I talked about it. You can download the binary and maybe inject it into company images if you want. Now, that's pretty much all I need to do in this first step. In the next step, and of course, you would go through this only at the first submission. When you're making updates, you just upload the new package and submit it to store. You can also add revise some of those properties, or maybe add some release notes. But you don't have to go through this at all. Now, I'll just categorize this up. I'll say it's business and legal and HR. And if you want, you can. If, for example, your app requires a camera or a touchscreen or Bluetooth or some other specific hardware capability, you can check it in here. But my app is pretty simple, so there's nothing that I need. Age rating, I'll just keep this up to adult, 18 plus. So I'll say, well, this is 18 plus. Okay, yes, that's it. Then In the next step, I need to submit the package. So that's either Apex or Apex Bundle or Apex Upload. I've built my app using App Studio. You can, of course, build the app using Visual Studio and create the package for store publishing. You upload it here. We analyze the package and determine the platforms that this package is targeting. So once the analysis is done, you would see that automatically the lower section will be updated based on the package. And this concrete one will run on desktop and mobile. OK, great. I'll hit save. That's all I needed to do here. And pretty much the last thing that I need to do is fill in some description. So this is the metadata that the end user will see in store when they install the app. So I will just keep this simple because it's a demo, but I definitely encourage you to write some more details. This is also the place where you can add screenshots. So if you have a screenshot, you can update them so the user can see the actual UI. I also need to add an icon for my app, and that's pretty much all I need to do. If you want to add some features, keywords, or potentially link to website or support contact info, if there is a specific intranet site that you want to point people for support or something, you can fill it all here as needed, because you know that this app will run only in your organization. Now I hit save, and that's pretty much all I needed to do. Now I can, you see this step is optional, so now I can really go ahead and submit the app to the store. Now what happens next? As Kyle mentioned, there is a certification process that the application undergoes, and then as it passes, it goes into publishing into the store. The first publishing takes a couple of hours. The updates are much faster. So it may take up to one day or even a couple of days before the app actually shows in the store on the very first publish. But the updates are much quicker. So once the certification and publishing is done, we are back in the IT, in the shoes of the IT guy who would see the app showing right here in the new LOB apps. His task is now to either accept or reject the app or view product details. Now, if I do view product details, these are the metadata that I just submitted in the dev center. So if it's B2B application, it's probably advised to be as specific on the metadata, as precise as possible, so people actually can exactly immediately see what it is, what's going on, what features this app has, and what they need to run it. Once I'm happy with this, I say, yeah, perfect, okay, I am adding this to my inventory. So once I add it to my inventory, since then on, I can use any other distribution methods for my LOB apps as for any other app. So for example, you see that I've already had a different submission of the Contoso Paste app. I have both online and offline license here. So if I need to preload this app to my devices within the organization, for example, then I'll just download the package. So you can download the package and inject it into the device image. Now, the beautiful feature that offline licensing has is that the app itself still has, it still behaves like a store app. So even if it's a offline distributed app and that machine is connected to the internet and there's a newer version of that package that has been submitted by the developer, the app will update. Okay. And then the very end user, Ellie here, she's running private store and she sees the line of business app in her private store. And by the way, she won't see that only on the desktop, but because the app is running on mobile, she would see the same app on mobile as well. And she could install the app on her mobile device as well in this case. So it's a really great story across Windows 10 devices. And you see it looks and feels like a Windows Store app. I can install it, I can run it, etc., etc., etc. So what we walked you through is a workflow that Kyle will now reiterate and step back and reflect the demo.
Yeah, so just to go through what you saw there, in terms of enabling a line of business developer, so someone from inside your organization or a partner that you work with to submit applications, first off, of course, the admin in your organization of the Windows Store for Business has to say, yes, I approve that person or that account to submit to my part of the Windows Store for Business. From there we go. The developer would get an invitation saying, hey, this company is allowing you to submit. He would go ahead and accept that invitation, and then he would go to the portal that you just saw Jan use to go ahead and make the submission, or possibly it's already out there. He already has an app, so he would go and change the availability to add your enterprise to that list. That information and the app and the update, of course, all goes into the through the Windows Dev Center and gets submitted, and the application becomes published through the Windows Store for Business. At that point, you would accept that application. The initial version of the application, you have an opportunity to decide whether or not it's an application you actually want to accept. Maybe you want to have a special testing of it or so on. You have those opportunities, or you want some refinements. In any case, once that application, the IT can decide, yes, I'm going to accept that into my inventory. And then, of course, you can decide to publish it and distribute it however, with whatever option you've already decided. So the app is part of your inventory, and then you can go ahead and use the Windows Store for Business to make sure that it gets to your organization. Once an application has been accepted into the business, then from there, when the developer does the update, it will flow automatically to all of the users who run that app, as long as obviously they have access to the Windows Store for Business, right? So as long as they're connected and online and so on, right? But those applications, those updates can flow directly as soon as the update is made through the process and get delivered directly to the desktop of the users straight away.
Now, here is one caveat. If you need more governance, and that's kind of the segue to the next section of this session, is you can use management tools to even distribute these updates. So again, if you need to do smoke tests for every single update that you distribute in your organization, you can use System Center Configuration Manager to handle that even today, for example, okay?
Right, so this obviously also assumes that the user has that connectivity to the Windows Store for Business.
Yes.
All right, so let's move up and start talking about management tools. So that's kind of the next level of governance that we see. This is a really tough clicker. Go back here. There we go. Okay, so app stores are great. Users are getting very used to them. They see them in all kinds of places. They have places they can get apps on their TV now, and they can get them on their mobile devices and on PCs and so forth. So users are very much used to this concept. And as long as you have a nice, safe model of the application, it's a reasonable model for them to be able to use, so they can get the apps that make sense for them. But I also understand that we understand a lot that for lots of enterprises, that's really not quite what you're looking for. You're not looking for the user to be able to say, hey, I'm going to go here and decide which apps I want to use, or maybe that's just a step they shouldn't have to do. Maybe instead of them having to go and, hey, you know, every user in that department, he has to run this particular app. Well, maybe it doesn't make sense that every one of them has to go to the store to get that app and therefore take those additional steps. Maybe what instead you want to do is you want to push that application directly onto a particular user's device or a group of users' devices. Maybe what you want to do is you're sharing out your devices, and what you want to see is an application installed, and once it's installed for everyone. Right, you want to be able to do more kinds of management as well. You want to manage the policies of the device. you want to manage, all kinds of aspects. And obviously, there's lots of tools and models out there to do that. There's the SCCM folks, there's the MDM folks like Intune and others, who all will provide this additional capability in terms of being able to manage how applications are distributed to their users. It's also then possible to get into this world, for example, where my users don't have access to the regular internet, or I don't want my users accessing the Windows Store or any particular addresses except very specific ones that are directly related to their jobs. I want to be able to have these applications available for that come from the Windows Store and come from other my line of business developers, but I want them to be deployed in a completely what we would call offline manner to the Windows Store. All of these things, of course, are possible, but what you would need is a little bit of help from a management tool. So whether it's an MDM folks or the SCCM folks, they can all handle these other aspects of managing your devices. But what's great is they all also know how to talk with the Windows Store, work the Windows Store, and help you acquire apps either from the Windows Store or your private store through the Windows line of business. They also will provide a different point of view on the user experience for acquiring those apps. Yes, we have the Windows Store. We're very happy with it. It works for hundreds of millions of people, but maybe there's something specific about your organization or something specific that you could get from a tool vendor so that they can have what we kind of call a company portal app. They provide, if effectively, a store application so that they can get the applications for your user, and they understand how to get them from the Windows Store or through the Windows Store for Business, or they understand that maybe what you have is a bunch of applications that are stored strictly within your enterprise, and they still want to distribute these apps and make them available to your users. So there are other sessions here at Ignite, of course, all on tape now, but you can go ahead and watch the videos of the management tools. Folks like Intune have sessions of overall management tools, and there's a great opportunity to take advantage of management tools and this new application model with the Windows Store for Business to really be able to handle these kinds of applications as well. Let's take a look at how the Windows Store for Business integrates.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. All right, so we are now here in my demo machine, and I'm again here as an IT professional back in the Windows Store for Business. And as you can see, the settings menu has another command that we haven't explored today, which is the management tools. So if I click on management tools, I'm able to grant permissions of certain management tools to my instance. So in this case, I have enabled the integration with Microsoft Intune, as you can see. So I'll switch to Microsoft Intune, and right here under Windows Device Management, you can see a specific section that says Store for Business. This is, by the way, very easy to set up. I did walk through a demo how to do it yesterday, so if you want to see the demo how to set it up, it is recorded in our other breakout and also documented on TechNet. What you can see here is that there is an automatic synchronization that is going on now between Intune and Windows Store for Business. So now Intune goes regularly and asks Windows Store for Business, so are there any changes in the inventory of apps that you have? Is there any different? Are there any changes in licensing? Have you bought more licenses for my apps that are paid, etc.? You see, the last sync was around noon today, or around midnight. Well, I'm still in the Pacific time here. But more importantly, when I go to apps category and then click on volume purchased apps, those are exactly those apps that match one-to-one to my inventory in Windows Store for Business. So yes, of course, it does include the Windows Camera app that you've seen here. That's the Windows Camera app, yes, that we've seen in the inventory in Windows Store for Business. But also, you see that we have here the Contoso Health and the Contoso PayStub. And so from now on, what you can literally do is that you can now literally manage these apps apply the policies that you need and deploy them to the Windows 10 devices. So think about this connection between Windows Store for Business and management tools as if the acquisition and discovery of apps is done in Windows Store for Business. The policy setting and the distribution is totally defined and owned and managed in management tools. Now, today we support Microsoft Intune, Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager. There are also third-party vendors who announce their integration with the Windows Store for Business, such as Lightspeed, AirWatch, and there are some others who are working on a solution to integrate with Store for Business, because the API that we surface these details is publicly documented. I've even heard a question from a customer that who had a homegrown MDM solution. Is it possible to integrate with Windows Store for Business our homegrown MDM solution? Absolutely, it is. That API is public. So. That gives us kind of the coverage on the middle layer where you're still sourcing applications, the store's applications, managing it through Store for Business. And now Kyle will kick off the last portion of our story here.
So the last thing we want to talk about, the last section we want to talk about is side loading. So let's start with defining what a side loaded app is. Frankly, a sideloaded app is any app that didn't go through the Windows Store, right? So we obviously trust any app that comes through the Windows Store. It's signed in a particular way. So we understand the app came from the Windows Store. We know it's been through all the certification. It's been through all the tests, et cetera. So we trust those applications built into the system. If a sideloaded app did not go through that process, so it's up to someone else to decide how far they want to trust that developer. Now, again, if it's a universal Windows platform app, in the sandbox, there's not a lot that necessarily they can do. But who is providing this app? Exactly which functionality it provides? Is it spoofing some other app, et cetera? Somebody has to make that choice. And the way they need to decide that is they must find the application must always be signed. We do not allow an application package to be installed if it's not signed. It just doesn't happen. So it must be signed, and it must be signed by someone that system trusts, right? So there's a couple of different ways that you can do that. As an enterprise, you can simply say, you can issue an enterprise certificate, which all of your enterprise devices already trust, or you can decide to distribute the certificate provider route through a management tool. But you could say, hey, I'm going to provide the signing certificate as part of my enterprise. For example, any domain join machine already trusts that. So if you were to sign your line of business apps with your enterprise signing certs, then that's going to work. Because your enterprise is saying, I'm the one who's deciding that this application, which has been provided by someone in my enterprise, is okay, and I know it's come from that developer and it's been properly signed. Another way, for example, is that the original application, the developer could have gotten a certificate from one of the well-known signing authentication providers out there, you know, a VeriSign, et cetera. These things are built into the system. So if they've gone and actually got a real signing certificate from one of these providers who go through a vetting process and make sure they're who they are and so on, then those can also be installed directly. Those are still sideloading, so the nature of being able to allow to install these applications that are not signed by the Windows Store is simply the nature of sideloading. So either you're using a built-in trusted authority like the store or one of those well-known identity providers, or you're using one of your own enterprise trusted authorities, you've distributed the cert. A third option is there is something we used back in Windows Phone 8 days called this a semantic certificate. The semantic folks would issue a certificate to an enterprise so that they could have applications signed by their enterprise, but the system had previously built in and already trusted that. You can still use that if you are using that today. So for those of you who have Windows 8 and are moving forward, you can still use that. But in the Windows 10 world, in the new Universal Windows Platform mode, it's much easier to sign those simply with an enterprise trusted authority based certificate than one that you would get from the semantic search. So those are the options. But the certificate that has signed the package must be trusted by the system. If it's from us or a trusted provider, then that's built in. If it's from you, from the enterprise, it's built in. Anyone else, you would have to make sure that you enabled for the device. So let's take a quick look at the various ways of sideloading. So one of the changes we've made in the anniversary update is we did want to make it a lot easier for users who get an APEX from you in some way to make it easier to install. It was a fairly complicated process. It has lots of richness in what's available, but there was no clearly simple way for a user to sideload an application that you might have made available to them. Now, again, these applications have to be signed in a way that the system trusts, so there has to be that step, that, especially for your enterprise, you're going to probably use an enterprise cert. But the easiest way now is to simply take an APEX package. So all I have here on my desktop is a file with an APEX extension, and we made up a little package icon for it. So I think we can blame John for that. Anyway, if I simply double-click on the package icon, then I'll get information about this particular application. In this case, it's one of our test applications, so the publisher is a little bit odd. But I can see, for example, all of the capabilities that this application has declared that it wants to use. So I might in this case, they don't look like anything particularly interesting, although it does have access, if I accept this application, it does have access to my contacts and appointments, and I might decide whether I want to do that or not. But at this point, I can simply go ahead and click install, and the application goes ahead and installs. As you see, it's already here on my desktop, so very fast. And simply goes ahead and installs and makes that app available. The app launcher will also go ahead and launch it if we wanted to. Otherwise, it also just shows up on my menu here, as you would expect. Coffee is with a C. There we go. Right. So so that's the simplest way to get an application onto the device, is make the APEX available to the user and let them go ahead and double-click on it. Of course, we have had for some time a full set of PowerShell capabilities here. We have PowerShell scripts that will make it easy to install an APEX, to remove an APEX, to make an APEX available installed for all users. There's a very rich set of arguments available to that. I'm going to go ahead and simply do a simple add APEX package here. And I have one in this folder that I have here as a test. So here, for example, is a typical kind of thing I would get from a developer. In this case, he sent me his APEX bundle. We provide two different things. There's APEX and APEX bundles. APEX bundles are just bundles of other APEXs. And here you can see that this developer has sent me a package that would work on ARM-based devices. That's Windows Mobile, as well as 32-bit and 64-bit machines. The platform will go ahead, make sure it picks the right package, and we'll make that application available. And as you can see, it simply went ahead and installed it. Now that's great. We have, so you can double click a package. You could go ahead and PowerShell script the package on and write your own scripts to do additional validation and verification, et cetera, as to what you want to see available. But there is a third option. This is a much more of a do-it-yourself kind of option. And this application that I just put on is an example of it. Let's take a look at the app I just put on. Oh, I don't see it here. Oh, yeah, so let's go ahead and take it off the menu here. So here it is. I just went ahead and installed it. Now, this is an application that's using the platform APIs that we make available in order to manage applications. So what I have here, it's kind of rudimentary capabilities that you would see in a company portal. So I talked about company portals that management tools provide. Well, maybe you don't like that particular tool. Maybe you want some additional customization. Maybe you want something very special about the way you distribute applications to your users. You could certainly write something on your own using these APIs. So this is something I use a little bit. It lets me see which applications are installed on the system and where they came from. So these are the applications that came from the store. I also have applications that the system has installed for its own use. So for example, one application, one universal Windows platform app that's available, Microsoft Edge, obviously installs with Windows. I can see apps that are on this system that didn't come from the store. That coffee app I just put on, and this app didn't come from the store. For me, because I look at packages a lot, I also like to see which frameworks are available. So these are the core developer libraries that we make available from Microsoft to developers who are writing universal Windows platform apps. It's really not a particularly interest to users, but I like to see them, so I took a look. And obviously, I can also look at apps that are actively under development, meaning the developer is on this computer and is using these in a particular way. But if I wanted to do something else, I could go ahead here and take a look at an application. I can look at all of the various information that's available as part of that application, so I can see the publisher, I can see which version this is, et cetera, and also what dependencies. Here's the app, it has the news app, et cetera. So there's lots of interesting things I can build from this platform API, and I could even go ahead if I wanted to. Let's go ahead and change the app. I'm going to pick Pandora because if you look here, there's a big white box here in the start menu. So I'm going to pick Pandora from here, and I'm simply going to remove it from my system using the APIs, and then if I go back to the start menu, that big white box is gone. So I have this ability with the sideloaded apps to go ahead and do other interesting kinds of things. Let's switch back to the deck. So there are basically three different tiers of things that you can do. The easy thing, of course, is now Anniversary Update has a double-click handler. Send somebody an AppX or put it on a share for them. They can double-click it. Off they go. Of course, the PowerShell scripts are still there. They've been there for a while. Lots of sophistication you can do there with respect to checking for packages. You can find out every package that's been installed. You can decide to add one and update one, et cetera, which is basically the same kind of capability I get in that custom app. We're really getting down to the same basic APIs, which I listed the names of the APIs here in the slide deck. So if you were to go to MSDN, you could see these APIs that I would use to write something like a company portal app or that little app explorer that I just had. There is one interesting thing about sideloaded apps. So the Windows Store does a great job of having rules with respect to what applications are allowed to do, in addition to the technical sandboxing we have with that app container. But we also have some very interesting kinds of things with respect to what these apps can do. So again, first off, you're going to have to make sure that the device is set for sideloading. Enterprise and education by default in Windows 10 will have sideloaded on. You can use a management policy to turn it on. Users can turn it on with the settings app. There's lots of ways to make sure that gets on. Every app has to be trusted. You have to make sure the app is signed by somebody you trust, right? So that's either yourselves with an enterprise certificate, or the developer's got a certificate from a well-known authority, or you're going to make another arrangement with that developer. What's interesting here, though, is no one is certifying this app. This is an app that you're getting directly from that developer, whether it's you or another third party. There's good and bad to that. The bad part is, it could be something doing something that you wouldn't like. But more to the point, you guys have thousands and thousands of applications. And maybe if you had 5,000 applications, maybe 4,900 of them you'd want to make sure were very secure using the full UWP so that they didn't mess up my system. But maybe you have 50 or 100 apps that they have to do exactly what they're doing, the way they're doing it, and that's that. So they might want to use some restricted capabilities. So for example, I just showed you an app that could uninstall other apps. That's not allowed in the Windows Store. You don't have that in the Windows Store for Business app. But because it's a sideloaded app, as you saw, I can use that restricted capability. I can look at every app that's installed in the system. I could install one. I could uninstall one. I could do other kinds of restricted capabilities. There's a documented page on MSDN that shows you these capabilities. So you might decide that, yes, I want to allow this app to do something that the Windows Store would frown on, but my enterprise or this particular business group absolutely needs to do. So I have that opportunity to take advantage of sort of skirting the full regulations of the Windows Store, which are very strict, as they should be, to make sure those apps can be fully trusted. But you're the enterprise. You own the devices, you own the user's time on the devices, you own the accounts that are being used, and if you want to go ahead and write a company portal that goes through and deletes any app that you didn't want on and adds some apps that you want on, that's up to you. These are your devices, and you can do that capability. So sideloading does open that up as a possibility.
So thank you so much for this great demo and in-depth description of sideloading. Now, what we walked you through today, we walked you through a journey of level of IT governance, what you can achieve, how, and how would you use the capabilities of Windows 10 and the services that come with Windows 10 to do exactly that. So we showed you the Windows Store for Business, where we acquired and managed line of business apps and used some default distribution methods. We also started using management tools as more control is needed. And in the last section, Kyle talked about and demoed how to sideload apps that actually are allowed to use some restricted capabilities as well. Now, there is a lot of content related to building apps and Windows Store for Business. So these are here for reference. All these sessions are recorded, so feel free to watch them later as you are interested. And please also make sure to fill out the evaluation forms. It would help us get feedback on the content so we can be better next time. Thank you so much for coming, and let's open it for questions. Any questions? If yes, please feel free to step to the mic and voice your question.
And I would, again, like to thank all of you for staying, not only to the last session, but to the end of the last session. So thank you very much, and enjoy your trips home afterward. Go ahead.
So if I have connected my Store for Business to Config Manager, does the user still need to have an internet connection to install the application through Config Manager?
So you were asking about Config Manager. So I'm going to repeat the question since that mic didn't actually work. So what you're asking is, if you connect your Config Manager SCCM to the Windows Store for Business, is it still required to have an internet connection to install the app? So the easy answer is, if the application developer has opted in, as Jan showed earlier, for offline, they would not.
Okay.
You could simply put a network connection of some description, some internal network.
Sure.
You could put those packages that you downloaded from the Windows Store on there, and you could push them out through SCCM, and the user may never have access to the real internet. That's fine. You obviously, not every app is marked as offline, but a lot of them are. And if there's not, it's an opportunity for you to tell the developer, I would use it if you did this.
Yeah.
And then they could go to the store, mark it, and you could do that.
As a follow-up to that, does the user in that scenario, offline application, Windows Store for Business, Config Manager, does the user still need to have an Azure AD account for authentication?
To repeat the question, in the Config Manager scenario, in the previous question, does every user who will install the app need to have an AAD account? So if that license is offline license, they don't need to have the AAD account. If the license is the online license, they need
sure.
to have it.
Sure. Okay.
Great
okay.
question. Thank you.
Okay. One last question with 1607 and that ability for the user just to double click on an APPX file, is it also able to handle updates? So if I have the same application, newer version, the tricky thing with updating an application in a previous version of Windows was in the moment the dependencies have changed. Then PowerShell failed to update the application. So we had to create a very large script to really manage these scenarios.
So in your particular question, if you made that application, an updated application available to the app, you could go ahead and it does do updates. However, the issue that you did point out would still exist. So if the you'd also need to make sure the dependencies were updated. And yes, you'd need to use a script to.
In that new 1607 method, there is no automatic handling of.
The app installer does not yet handle automatically installing dependencies.
Okay, Ben.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Please, yes. Take even more, please. If we have still some lollipops left, please. Feel free to take them. I'm afraid we are out of time, but if you have more questions, please please come to talk to us, and we can turn off the mic and shut off the recording. Thank you very much. It was a great Ignite. Thank you.
Thank you.